Good morning, everyone, and welcome to 2020, the year of the miraculous. Now, when I talk about something that's miraculous, I think all of us have some kind of a definition of things that are miraculous. It's usually something that we say is unexplainable, something that goes beyond the natural. And I believe that the year of 2020 is going to be, 2022, is going to be a year that is going to be filled with the miraculous. Now, the miraculous often comes out of times and seasons of our lives whereby we consider it to be impossible. And because of the impossibility becoming a possibility, we say it's miraculous. We're going to look at the children of Israel this morning for a few moments. We're going to find them in bondage to Egypt. And God is going to do something miraculous, not only in bringing them out, but he is going to protect them during a season of the 10 plagues. He's going to show them his blessing and protection in such a way that the Egyptians are going to look and say, how is it that that group of people living in Goshen, how are they preserved from all the plagues and all the misery that we're going through? And they're going to acknowledge it's the Lord their God. And so let's take our Bibles this morning and let's go to Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8, as we look at 2022, the year of the miraculous. Verse 20 says, then the Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning and confront Pharaoh as he goes to the water and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so they may go and worship me. If you do not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies on you and on your officials, on your people and into your homes. The houses of the Egyptians will be full of flies and even the ground where they are. But on that day, I will deal differently with the land of Goshen where my people live. No swarms of flies will be there, so that you will know that I, the Lord, am in this land. I will make a distinction or a difference between my people and your people, Pharaoh. This miraculous sign will occur tomorrow. Now look at verse 23. I will make a distinction. I believe that God is going to do that in 22. I will make a distinction between my people and your people. This miraculous sign will occur tomorrow. Now, without a doubt, the story of Moses and the Exodus of the children of Israel out of Egypt has to be one of the best known and best loved accounts in the entire Bible. It really all starts out with a young man by the name of Joseph. Joseph was the next to the youngest in a family of 12 boys. His father, Jacob, also known as Israel, showed great favoritism to Joseph, which then caused his brothers to become very jealous and even to hate him. Joseph's father gave him the family tribal coat. We know it as the coat of many colors. It was comprised, yes, of many colors. However, it was no ordinary coat. This coat represented the right to rule the family upon the father's death. And so whoever has the coat is next in line to rule the family. This privilege should have been given to the eldest son, which was Reuben, not to Joseph. Matter of fact, Joseph was far from number one. He was number 11 in the birth order. Now, to top it all off, Joseph had a series of dreams. Remember those dreams indicating that one day that not only his brothers would come and bow before him, but so would his father and mother. You know, sick of such stories and parading around in his coat of many colors, Joseph's brothers sold him off as a slave, ending up where else but in Egypt, in the household of Pharaoh, or of Potiphar. Now, Jacob was, however, someone that deeply loved his son and was concerned about him and Joseph then was told, rather, he was told that Joseph was dead. He was killed by a wild beast because his brothers didn't want them to know that he was literally sold off as a slave. And through a series then of miraculous events, Joseph became the second in command over the entire nation of Egypt. As second in command, Joseph's primary responsibility was to prepare for a coming famine that God had warned Pharaoh about in a dream that Joseph then had interpreted. The famine came and it affected the entire region, including the land of Canaan. In the midst of the famine, guess who shows up now down in Egypt to buy grain? It was none other than Joseph's brothers. Joseph forgave his brothers, and because of his forgiveness, Joseph's entire family was invited with the full blessing of Pharaoh to come and live then in the land of Egypt. Goshen was the land that was given to them. This visit, come down for grain, lasted a total of 430 years. Jacob's family was sizable when they had arrived, but it grew to a nation within a nation of 1.5 million to 2 million people. So life then in Egypt was rather good for the children of Israel as long as the people remembered Joseph. But when a Pharaoh arose, the Bible says, that knew not Joseph, things went sour quickly. They began to be mistreated and were viewed as a threat to Egypt's security. Life became hard and even unbearable. It is at this time that Moses comes on the scene as one chosen by God to deliver the Hebrews out of what had become slavery and bondage there in Egypt. Moses reluctantly went to Pharaoh and he said, "Let my people go that they may go worship their God." Pharaoh responded, as you well know, and remember, by mocking Moses' God and even his request. Now God's judgment is about to fall on Pharaoh and upon all of Egypt in a form of 10 hard-hitting, miserable plagues. Each plague would be an assault against, you know, a various member of the pagan gods there in Egypt. Remember now, the Israelites are living in this northeast section of Egypt along with the Nile Delta called Goshen. The whole area of Goshen was about 900 square miles. From this point on, this morning now, in this message, what I want you to do, I want you to see God's miraculous protection over the children of Israel in Goshen as God pours out his judgment on Egypt. When God begins to pour out his judgment on Egypt, it is going to be a series of 10 major plagues. Plagues that I would say are like a training event. I think all of us have been at a railroad crossing and we've watched as the railroad cars go by and they go by and they go by and we've looked to see where is the caboose because we know when we can see it, that's usually the end of the train. Friends, I believe that we're in a training period of time in history here in the United States and around the world. Some of the events that we have seen over the past 2 years, I believe, are nothing compared to what is ahead. And what I want you to leave here with today is I want you to leave here knowing that as a child of God, God has a miraculous life for you to live. And even in the midst of God's judgment upon the world, he's got a place of safety and a place of security for every one of his children. I want you to look and see plague number one, which was the water turning to blood. Look at verse 19 of Exodus 7. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron, take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over the streams and canals, over the ponds and over all reservoirs, and they will turn to blood. Blood will be everywhere in Egypt.'" Now, can you help me out this morning? Every time I come to this phrase of Egypt, I want you to shout out Egypt with me. Will you do that? Help me out this morning. Help the preacher. Blood will be everywhere in even in the wooden buckets and stone jars. As Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded, he raised his staff in the presence of Pharaoh and of his officials and struck the water of the Nile, and all the water changed into blood. The fish in the Nile died, and the river smelled so bad that the Egyptians, come on, don't get behind me, the Egyptians could not drink of it. Blood was everywhere in Egypt. Look at verse 19. Blood will be everywhere in Egypt. Verse 21. The river smelled so bad that the Egyptians could not drink the water. Blood was everywhere in Egypt. Well, let's press on. Look at Exodus chapter 8 now, verse 2. And you're going to discover here it was the plague of the frogs. If you refuse to let them go, I will plague your whole country with frogs. The Nile will teem with frogs. They will come up into your palace and into your bedroom and into your bed and onto the houses of your officials and on your people and into your ovens and kneading troughs. The frogs will go up on you, your people, and all of your officials. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out your hand and your staff over the streams and canals and ponds and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt. So I will plague your whole country, he is speaking to Pharaoh, with frogs. You know, a frog don't sound so bad, but they're not fun to sleep with. They're not good to eat when they get into your bread. All of this was going on. The frogs will go up. Look at the next portion there. It says, the frogs will go up on you and your people and your officials. Can you imagine trying to sleep even with these things going, ricket, 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 ricket. And frogs came up, the Bible says, on the land of, say it, Egypt. Plague number three was lice, gnats, and fleas. Now God is turning up the heat here. Look at verse 16. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the ground. And throughout the land of Egypt, the dust will become gnats. When you read about gnats and you read about it there, it's really talking about lice, gnats, and fleas. It's enough to make you just start feeling like you're crawling, itching away. And life was miserable. They did not listen, would not listen. Plague four, the flies. Now listen to what happens here. If you do not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies on you and your officials, on your people, into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians will be full of flies and even the ground where they are. I don't know if you've ever had the occasion of being on a lake, especially it's in lake country, where when the mayflies come out and they began multiplying. These mayflies, they'll swarm your head, they'll swarm, they'll cover your car. I have pictures that I've seen online where gas pumps at filling stations have literally been shrouded by them. Automobiles covered where you can hardly tell it's an automobile. The ground literally crawling with them. He said, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be these flies everywhere. They're going to swarm. They're going to swarm on you, Pharaoh. They're going to swarm on your officials, on your people, the Egyptians, on your houses, and the houses of the Egyptians will be full of flies. But notice now, look at verse 22. But on that day, I will deal differently with the land of Goshen, where my people live. That's where the Israelites were. That was the land that was given to them within the greater boundaries of Egypt. Where my people live, no swarms of flies will be there. so that you will know that I, the Lord, am in this land. I will make a distinction between my people and your people, Pharaoh. This miraculous sign will occur tomorrow. Verse 22, I will deal differently with the land of Goshen where my people live. Friends, I'm so glad to know God knows where we live. God knows your address. God knows where you're at. He knows where your sons and daughters are at. I've often said at 10 o'clock at night, at least on Channel 6, Fox News, what they'll often do is they will say almost every night, it is 10 o'clock, parents, you know where your children are. And I'll turn to my wife and always say, I don't have a ghost of an idea. I hope they're all home. I hope they're safe. Hope they're snuggled in with their families, but I have no idea. God knows where our children are at. God knows where you're at. He knows what's happening, not only physically, but emotionally. He knows where you're at this morning. And he said, I will deal differently with the land of Goshen, where my people live. Verse 23, he said, I will make a distinction between my people and your people, or the Egyptian people. So God is saying, I'm going to do something miraculous. Though there's going to be surrounding you, surrounding Goshen, there is going to be judgment. I have a place of safety for you. You are my sons, my daughters, and I am going to watch over and care for you. Listen what happens with the livestock. Pharaoh, of course, did not listen, and therefore, God is turning up the heat. Next step, look at Exodus 9, verse 2. If you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them back, the hand of the Lord will be terrible, will bring a terrible plague on your livestock in the field, on your horses and donkeys and camels, and on your cattle and on your sheep and goats. Now, to those of us living in a metropolitan area, it's like big deal. Who cares what happens to the goats, the sheep, the cattle? But this was God's way of saying, I'm going to attack you in your security, which you thought was your finances. And I'm going to attack that which is, you know, your source of really believing that you've got it all together. You have nothing to worry about. But listen what he says now in verse 4. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and that of Egypt, so that no animal belonging to the Israelites will die. Did you notice that phrase there? No animal belonging to the Israelites will die. There is a supernatural protection. God is saying, I know where you're at. I have placed you where you're at. And though those that surround you are going to lose their finances, they're going to lose their shirt, they're going to lose their cattle, their goats, their camels, everything of wealth and value to them, the means by which anyone during that time period would have said, this is my security, this is my values. You're going to lose it all. However, those that are living in Goshen under my protection will not lose one single animal. Well, what about the boils? Look at number 6 now. Plague number 6 was boils. Starting with verse 8 of chapter 9. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot and from the furnace and have Moses toss it into the air in the presence of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over the whole land of Egypt, and festering boils will break out on men and animals throughout the land. Go down to verse 11. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils that were on them and on all the, your turn, Egyptians. Are you getting the picture here? Are you seeing the pattern? Are you seeing what God has promised? Let's move on. Exodus 9 and verse 8. God's going to send hail. Therefore, at this time tomorrow, I will send the worst hailstorm that has ever fallen on Egypt, from the day it was founded until now. Notice that. God says, I'm going to send the worst hailstorm that has ever happened in the whole of your history. Here's what I began to see happening this past couple of years since the outbreak of the pandemic. They're talking about things that have never, ever happened before. They're talking about floods that were once every 500 years that have now become almost annual. They're talking about fires that have sprung up just the last week, 900 homes destroyed in California, or not in California, but Colorado, by one fire alone. And then after that comes the snow. And all of this is going on, and the world is looking and saying, what's going on? Will things ever become normal again? When will the caboose finally cross over and I can know that from here on, it's all over, it's all good again? I don't think it's going to get like we thought it would again. Look at verse 23. When Moses stretched out his staff towards the sky, the Lord sent thunder and hail and lightning flashing down to the ground. So the Lord rained hail on the land of your turn, Egypt. Hail fell and lightning flashed back and forth. It was the worst storm in the land of Egypt since it had been or become a nation. Throughout, don't go to sleep on me, throughout, hail struck everything in the fields, both men and animals. It beat down every growing, everything in the fields and stripped every tree. The only place it did not hail was in the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were. Have you ever noticed that before? Have you ever noticed the number of times where it is specifically spelled out that it was in Egypt where the plagues were? And how many times God specifically says, I have protected my people there in Goshen. Look at verse 26. It says, the only place that did not hail was in the land of Goshen where the Israelites were. You know, I flew into Springfield, Missouri shortly after a hailstorm. And this hailstorm followed by an ice storm was one of the worst that they had had in their history there in the Ozarks. As I was flying into the Springfield airport, I noticed from the sky trees that were busted off. Rather than being green and, you know, a lot of lush leaves and so on, everything had been stripped bare. And so the Bible said God was going to send hail, hail like they'd never seen before. It was going to be upon the Egyptians, but upon his people, there would be a place of safety and a place of security. It would not hail there. Look what happens now, verse 13, 15. So Moses stretched out his staff over Egypt, and the Lord made the east wind blow across all of the land. Now he's going to be talking about the locust that's going to come, the locust following after all the hail. What was not stripped away by the hail, now the locust is going to come and eat. It says there in verse 13, it says, so Moses stretched out his staff over Egypt, and the Lord made the east wind blow across the land all that day and that night. By morning, the wind had brought the locusts, and they invaded all of, say it, Egypt, and settled down in every area of the country in great numbers. Never before had there been such a plague of locusts, nor will there ever be again. They covered all the ground until it was black. They devoured all that was left after the hail, everything growing in the fields and the fruit on the trees. Nothing green remained on tree or plant in all the land of Egypt. Now, as you read through that entire account, once again, Moses says, this plague is going to come upon your house. It's going to come upon your officials, Pharaoh, and upon all of the Egyptians. Look at what happens next. It is now darkness, the plague of darkness. Exodus chapter 10 and verse 21. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand towards the sky so that the darkness will spread over Egypt. Darkness that can be felt. Have you ever been in a place that's so dark It almost felt like you could feel the darkness round about you. And I'm not talking about spiritual darkness here at the moment. I'm talking about physical darkness. You've been somewhere, and it's just been one of those nights where seemingly no stars are shining, the moon is not out, it's cloudy, it's obscured, and it seems so dark, it's almost choking. Verse 23, no one could see anything else or leave his place for 3 days. Yet all the Israelites, now here's that comparison again, yet all the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. The miraculous is happening. They are having darkness in Egypt, yet there in Goshen, there is light. Verse 23, yet all the Israelites had light in their places where they lived. It all culminates now. Pharaoh having a hard head. Pharaoh not listening to God. Pharaoh not listening to the voice of this, you know, warning that Moses was giving. If you continue your way, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Listen what happens next. It is the death of the firstborn, which we all know. Exodus 11, verses 1 through 6. Now the Lord had said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go. This plague is going to break him. This plague is going to cause him to finally say, get out of here. After that, he will let you go from here. And when he does, he will drive you out completely. Tell the people that men and women alike are to ask their neighbors for articles of silver and gold. So as you're leaving, let them know, yes, we're going to go, but we're also wanting your silver and your gold before we go. The Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people, and Moses himself was highly regarded in Egypt by Pharaoh's officials and by the people. So Moses said, this is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go through Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die. From the firstborn son of Pharaoh, which considered himself to be a god, and his son, of course, would be a god as well, who sits on the throne, to the firstborn son of the slave girl who is at her handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle as well. There will be a loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there's ever been or will ever be again. Now look at verse 7. But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any man or animal. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. Now listen to God's protection plan here. Starts in verse 21. Then Moses summons all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out the door of his house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the what? He will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. He will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and to strike you down. Notice here the instruction. The instruction was slaughter the Passover lamb. So the lamb was going to shed its blood, and its blood was going to be the protection over their home during this time of the death angel passing through. Place the lamb's blood in a basin. Make yourself a brush of hyssop. Brush the blood of the lamb on the top and the sides of the door frame. And then, very interestingly, he says, stay inside the house until morning. Don't go out. Stay in the house. There will be death in Egypt, but there's going to be life in Goshen. Friends, I want you to see all throughout this entire account of the 10 plagues that God miraculously spares his own people. Though there was in the culture round about, though there was in the land of Egypt as a whole, there was much carnage, there was much going on, there was much pain, there was many, many plagues, all 10 of them being poured out. Yet God had a place to preserve his own people, and he dealt with his own people in a way that was different from the Egyptians. You'll find this played out time and time again all throughout the Old Testament. If you look at Noah's Ark, there's death on the outside, but there's life on the inside. There is protection for the Israelites in Goshen while the plagues are going on in Egypt. During the Passover, there's life inside of the homes that is protected by the blood. There's death on the outside. And when you move into the New Testament and Acts 27, the Apostle Paul is on a ship out in the Aegean Sea, such a tremendous storm. The ship is beginning to break up and it's about to sink. And he's wondering, what should I do? And God said to him, don't abandon the ship. There will be a loss of the ship, but stay with the ship. You will not have the loss of a single life. Stay on board the ship. So you'll always find that in every circumstance, God has a way to preserve his own, even when there is plagues going on round about. Friends, I believe the gods of this present world are about to be judged as the gods of the Egyptians were. I want you to think for a moment, what are some of the gods of America? What are some of the things that we so much put our hopes, our dreams, our pride, our self-sufficiency in? And I believe just as God began to send plagues against these gods of Egypt, the Nile was considered to be a god. They believed that the Nile was what brought them wealth and well-being. They believed that the frogs were the ones that brought them fertility. They believed that the flies were the ones that caused the sun to pass across the sky. They believed the sun in and of itself was a god. And so God darkened the sun. He sent flies until they were sick of it. He turned the waters of the Nile into blood. God knows how to get our attention. And I believe that he's going to do some things in the year of 22 that's going to cause the attention of the world. And they're going to see the true child of God live in a protective way that's going to cause the world to say, how is it that in the midst of all this fear, in the midst of loss of finances and loss of home and loss that is going on in so many areas, how is it in the midst of all of this, in the training of events? Now, I do not believe by any way, shape, or form that we are currently in the Great Tribulation. But the Great Tribulation that is mentioned in the book of Revelation is comprised of three major components. The first being that of, you know, it was the seals, when the seals are open, with each seal, there's massive death on the earth. There's tribulation like we can't believe. Followed by those seven comes the next seven, which is the trumpet. And every time the trumpet sounds, all seven times, again, there is great tribulation on the earth. And that is not the end either. Then it's the bowl judgments. And I believe that just as we've seen the training of events, one coming right after another, you can't even catch your breath in between what's going on. And the Bible says that in the book of Revelation then, that there's going to be this series of 21, not 10, but 21 major events. Some of those events are going to take 1/3 of the entire world's population. So over 2.2 billion persons are going to die from just one of the seven of each one. It's a marvelous and amazing thing to read through. Do I believe that that is where we're at this moment, the Great Tribulation? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that God is trying to train us right now not to live in fear like the world, that we should live and have our place in Christ, and that our security and our safety is not in our bank accounts. It's not in our ability to provide for ourselves or defend ourselves. Like COVID. COVID goes to the White House and it goes to the poorest home in America or the world. There's no distinction there. But God is bringing about a distinction. Remember what he said? I'm going to show myself in such a way that the world is going to look and they're going to say, how is it that you are living the way you're living in the midst of all of this? And you're going to be able to respond and say, it's because of the Lord my God. That's the place I want to be. You know, Psalm 91 is such an incredible psalm. I want you to listen to Psalm 91 as I read some of these verses. I want you to think about it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That is saying there's going to be protection by God to the one that abides in that secret place. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover thee with his feathers like a hen covers his chicks, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, or for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Listen to what he says. 1,000 will fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eye shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Can you imagine those Israelites living in Goshen under the protected hand of the Lord as they look out their window and see all the destruction round about? The Bible says, "With only with thine eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation." Look at verse 10. There shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because thou hast set his love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him and I will set him on high, because he hath made known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and I will honor him. And with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I've made up my mind, I want to be in Goshen, amen? I want to be under the blessing of Almighty God. I want to live under the shadow of the Almighty. I want to be in Him. I want my safety and security, not in self, not in what this world has to offer, but in the greatness of our God. And I believe that this year is going to be a year of incredible, miraculous living for the child of God. Bow your heads with me, please, Father. Lord, this morning there are men and women in the room that are saying, I know that I'm not in the ark. I'm not living in the place of blessing. They're in Goshen. I'm not living in the shadow of the Almighty. I've been out doing my own thing, and quite frankly, it's a dangerous place to be. I need His protection. I need His love. I need His hope. I need His joy. Lord, this morning I just pray, Lord, for everyone in the house that is saying, I want to find my place in Goshen. I want to find my place in Christ, the hope of glory. I want to live, even though the world may be surrounding me with troubles and trials, that I will be in a place of a blessing held in the hands of Almighty God. And I place myself in your hands this morning, O God. With heads bowed and eyes closed, somebody say, that's me this morning. I want to place myself in the hands of Almighty God. I want to be the one that is living in the Goshen protection. I want God's blessing on my life as I move into the year of 22. Let me see your hands. Just put them up real high all over this room. Yes, there are many. And I pray for you right now. I pray, oh God, Lord, for each and every one, that this would be a year of no fear. That the world and what they experience would not be what the child of God experiences. I pray, oh God, this morning as we give you our hearts, we give you our lives, we invite you in. Lord, we want to be in you and we want you in us. We surrender our past, all of our sin. We ask you, God, to forgive. We ask you, God, that this would be the year of the miraculous. And I ask you, God, that everyone in this house and those that have joined us online today, Father, I pray that they might live in the blessing of Goshen, that they might realize and see, and their friends and associates would say, how is it that you are living the way you're living in the midst of this hour? And you'll simply be able to respond, the Lord is my God. He's my protector. He's my shield. He's my fortress. He is my God. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful moments together this morning. We seal them and ask you to bless every person. Let's stand together. Worship team, lead us up.